The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hope your Saturday is starting off well. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank, Scott Walmering, and myself, Ryan O'Neill of the Minnesota Real Estate Team. RE/MAX Advantage Plus, this is a live real estate show, a local real estate show. We're here downtown Minneapolis, WCCO, every Saturday. Welcome your questions, 612-294-6949. 612-294-6949 is how you can join us at any point. Don't hesitate to interrupt us. And Scott, good to see you there, buddy.
Yeah, good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Like Ryan said, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We are live and local. Been doing this for, I was looking the other day, so we started this in December of 2005. So this has been 20 years.
Wow.
Right?
December of 2005. December of 2005.
Would have been, so 20 years. So anyways, if you've not caught us before, it is just an incredible show. We're thrilling to listen, everything real estate and mortgage related as it relates to the Twin Cities.
I mean, just.
Oh, it's just riveting radio.
Riveting real estate.
Yep. I mean, any questions you have, you can text us at 612-294-6949, or if you're following us on any of the social media, just type your questions in and we'll handle them as they come. And we really appreciate you listening.
Yeah, we do like to keep it interesting each week, a little different, hitting different topics, hitting questions, really anything at all. Don't hesitate to interrupt us, 612-294-6949. We like to do a real estate update and a mortgage update in the first segment of the show. Today, interest rates, hearing from Mike Overson, Luminate Bank. Scott, they're still in the low sixes, 6.19, looking on Freddie Mac right now, nationally 6.19, low sixes. It's what they've been all year. It's interesting when you go back, again, even I look at July, they were as high as 6.75. And then even if I even go back further, Scott, they were over 7.
A year ago.
Yeah, early January. So they're over 7. So they're down almost a point. So that's some good news.
Yeah, it is. And, and we've been talking about this, through the year that they're kind of just trending down slowly, which is nice. Very low appreciation, which, you think, well, that's not nice. Well, it kind of is, because we want to be able to stay in a sustaining market where our interest rates go down. But our house prices don't skyrocket. We did that in 2022, where rates were at 2.7, and that felt good for a payment, but it not felt good for value. So we've seen a nice little steady kind of increase. I bet you when we get into the numbers, we're probably 3-4% over last year. That's good appreciation, and it keeps everybody in the market. It is, the key word out there is affordability right now. Everybody's throwing out affordability. And there's no doubt that in 1999, the average house price was $138,000. Our incomes were basically the same. And now it's $384,000, probably somewhere around there. So affordability is definitely an issue.
Yeah, let's look at an update year over year in the Twin Cities. New listings, new homes for sale up 8% year over year. There were 949 new properties came out of the market, pending sales or accepted purchase agreements down 2.3%, 773. And then the inventory is very, very much the same as last year, 9,994. Median sales price, Scott, is up 2.1% to 389.9. So 389.9. Interesting, almost a third of the houses in the first half of the year were paid by cash, through cash.
Yep.
And that is, they said it's just down slightly from the same time last year. Think of that. A third of the transactions paying cash. Wow. That's a lot of cash deals.
It is a lot of cash deals. It is, again, 2.1% appreciation. That is what we want to see, guys. We want to see our interest rates just kind of creep a little bit down, keep our appreciation kind of around that number. Things will start to feel better over time. But yeah, a third of the deals in cash. You know, the difference between, you know, any of us that were around during the crash in 2008, and we're not even near a crash right now. But at that point, nobody had any equity in their property. We've been in a very, very bullish appreciation scale. Is that correct? Bullish?
That is. Yeah.
Bullish appreciation scale for, you know, basically the last, you know, year and a half, you know, where we were moving 6%, 7%, 8%. So it's nice to kind of see it flatten a little bit. Let people take a breath because affordability is a big issue.
Yeah, it is. 612-294-6949. Already had a text message question come in that we'll hit right after the break regarding assessments, property tax assessments, getting those in the mail. Yep, a lot of people have been commenting, hey, what is going on? Much higher in a lot of cities and areas. We'll talk about that a little bit. Before the break, just wanted to touch on 2 weeks from today, Scott, are you ready?
For your concert?
We're getting the band back together.
Yes, I'm ready.
We are getting the band back together, the O'Neill Brothers. 2 weeks from today, we got two shows, 2 o'clock, 7 o'clock, the Edina Performing Arts Center. All the ticket sales, all the money raised goes to benefit the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. We're helping 3 to 4 local families weekly. It's a fun show. We're bringing in the Marylands,
yep,
who are on The Voice.
Yes.
And so it is entertaining, fun for the whole family. PianoBrothers.com. Rye, are you a singer at all? We may want to bring you on stage.
Oh, a karaoke. I only sing in karaoke bars.
Yeah. I think you could do it. We bring him on just for his good looks. What do you think, Scott?
Well, that and the hair alone, that's got to be worth 25% tickets.
If it's for charity, I'll do anything.
That'll spike the ticket sales. Hey, PianoBrothers.com, check it out. We're going to have a little fun. And again, 612-294-6949. We'll be back after the break. Hey, top of the morning to you. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate it. Once a week, Scott, we do our brief 1 minute of hope for the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. This week, I wanted to talk about, because they are from the New Prague area, a wonderful family, the Eaton family. And when Dylan fell from a ladder, life changed instantly for his young family. Broken bones, a traumatic brain injury, hospital stays, surgeries, uncertainty about recovery. The Eatons have shown tremendous resilience while facing very real challenges. After being nominated to the O'Neill Foundation of Hope this fall, we took time, we learned about their needs, fears, victories, setbacks, their deep love for Christmas. Dylan had always and has always made the season magical for his kids. To help lift their spirits, we partnered with a local company to decorate the Eaton family's home, bringing some light and color into a difficult time. It's a very small act, but one meant to remind them of the love and support that surrounds them. This season, we're all celebrating the Eaton's family and strength, sending them prayers for peace, courage, and full healing. A wonderful family. Again, a very small act. And we're sending you guys lots of love from the O'Neill Foundation of Hope, Scott.
Yeah, it's so cool. And, you know, Ryan does the big things like help the families out. And then I got to hang the lights. So that's how this all works.
But you're terrible.
No, what a cool thing. I mean, I've talked about it on the show a zillion times. What a cool foundation to be able to track and see the individual families that are local that are actually being helped directly. You just can't find that in a charity. So it's a very cool thing you guys do.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We appreciate the support. That's what the concerts are coming up. All the money raised supports that. And it's all types of things, helping with housing, food scarcity, all types of issues, hardships people are experiencing. So we appreciate your support. We got to welcome on Brad Sanford, Farmers Insurance. Brad, you've been waiting so patiently. And you are not too quiet. We had a comment that Scott's just too quiet on social media here. His voice was too quiet, Scott.
Too quiet, Scott.
Never a sentence. I was going to say a sentence that's never been said before.
That is.
Too quiet, Scott.
You know, I was putting up lights, Christmas lights, 1 year, and I put the bottom of the ladder on black ice. And when I got to the top, that ladder went out from underneath me. And I let go with one hand but did not let go with the other. And I snapped my wrist. And the thoughts that go through your head when you're going down on that ladder, there's a ton of them, I'll tell you.
One is, I hope I have a good insurance guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Brad Sanford is, again, a wonderful guy, great partner. All of our partners are at MN Real Estate Show. And these are folks that the Minnesota Real Estate team has worked with for a long time. They're not just random people we bring on to WCCO every Saturday morning. With all the agents on the team, Scott, and the transactions, it's important to have trusted partners. I can't tell you, Brad, the number of phone calls this year I've gotten from agents regarding insurance, HO3 policies, HO6 policies, condos, townhomes. It's such a hot button right now with our industry. You and your industry has become, in my opinion, even more valuable with this kind of market.
You know, and it's interesting that Scott was talking about how the house has appreciated. You know, 10 years ago, houses were appreciating at 2-3%, and we would raise your dwelling aid coverage 2-3% so that you were never underinsured. And now we're seeing them go up by 8-10%. Yeah. And then the losses that we're seeing, we're putting those on top where you're seeing 20-30% increase per year. And they're saying that the housing market insurance industry is going to go up by another 8% this year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, and you know, it is, it's one of those things that's hard to do because nobody ever wants to pay more for insurance. On the other hand, in the worst case scenario, your house burns down. You want to make sure that you can actually rebuild the house you're living in.
Yeah, I had a good question come in. Again, you can call us if you prefer or text us like George just did. George just said, I'm a homeowner that finished my unfinished basement. A house was built in 2011. I'm a tradesman by trade. However, no permits were pulled. Will there be an issue if the time comes to sell the house? George, I have some thoughts. Scott?
It depends on the buyer. It depends on the buyer and the situation. It's like anything else in real estate. You know, are you on the market for 4 months, reduced your home 4 or 5 times, and then get one buyer? Yeah, they're probably going to call out some things like that. Did you sell your house in 5 offers where everybody wants it? People are going to overlook the fact that it's there. So if the question is, do you have to pull permits to sell your house? Absolutely not. But what has happened now over the last 15 years is it does follow the property. It used to not. It used to stop with the last sale, but now it follows the property. So whoever takes it over, if they're not permits that are pulled, run the risk that somebody else down the road might ask them to have those permits pulled. So it just depends on the situation and the buyer.
Yeah, and I think to Scott's point, what may make sense for you to do is just call the city, have them come out and close, open and close the permits. That's what we've seen a lot of homeowners done. And again, with you being knowledgeable in the trades, you probably did everything right, you know, and that's all it is. It's just a safety thing. Really for cities. So again, I think put the broker hat on. If you get a really particular buyer, you may just want to avoid it and just get it done prior to listing, Brad.
And George, I'm going to tell you to call your insurance agent and make sure you let them know that you finished the basement. If you have a sewer and drain coverage, or if you don't and it backs up, it's not going to cover all the personal property, the carpet and all that in your downstairs. So if you have sewer and drain coverage, that kicks in your Schedule C, which is your personal property, which then pays for all that hard work that you did downstairs.
Yeah, in my experience is if you are a tradesman, which obviously means you're doing it correctly, there's less of a chance somebody calling it out. Where they get called out is the home sells, hey, we didn't pull permits. They have their home inspection and it's a disaster. Yeah, at that time, yeah, of course. But in your situation where, you know, you're a craftsman, you're a legal contractor, and they do the inspection and the inspector's like, look, this is all done perfectly. Less of a chance that someone's going to want them pulled.
Yeah, one thought I had too for homeowners is, especially in the winter time, and I'm speaking from personal experience on this one. Some pumps and some pump backups as well. Just be sure, again, if you are an existing homeowner, newer homeowner, to really understand that situation. We've had a couple situations of water in the basement over the years, having a sump pump and there was no backup, or not having the notification to, you know, what didn't go off correctly. I don't know. That's one of the things with water in the basement, Brad. And I think about what you were just talking about with sewer backup. Just be sure you understand that as a homeowner. You take a little time, maybe you talk to a good company to say, look, let's talk about the sump pump here. What do I need? Do I need a backup? How do I ensure we're notified? I don't know. Any insurance thoughts on that, Brad? Because that can be just a disaster.
Well, and you think about what's backing up and getting onto the sheetrock and getting into that those other areas. And as you know, water finds a way to get places. And so having that coverage, obviously you can't do it too late, but having the forethought of doing that. And you were getting into something that would help fortify your home of early water leak detection. You want to talk to your insurance agent and see if that having that in your home gets you a discount. And what you're looking for is the cost to put it in. Can you recoup that cost with lower insurance premiums within a 3 to 7 year period?
Scott, we got to go back to the question that came in earlier about assessments and property taxes. A lot of people are not happy.
No, they're not.
They are not happy with what people are seeing with the property. And again, it is, wow, we could go on and on about this. We do think it is worth disputing.
You can go in before May, I believe May 30th every year to your county, and you can dispute your value.
Yeah, and reach out to us. Again, we provide a service, a market analysis. So this is not like some sideways way for us to list your house. If you really want to know what your house is worth, you can reach out to us. We've got a great team of agents. We're going to do a market analysis. We're going to give you something that could be potential ammunition to go do that. Because, again, Scott, and we're talking about affordability, some of these increases are just
They're crazy.
It's way too much.
Yeah, well, it's just another way to jack you for basically taxes. And it is crazy. Now, make sure you do understand that your tax assessed value does not have to be your home value. They fluctuate. So there are times through the last 20 years where you were being taxed far less than your home was actually worth. And now you're being taxed probably more than your home is actually worth. So it is on a scale. It's not an actual value. So you're not going to be able to go in, like let's say they're taxing you at $1 million and you have a market analysis done and it's 920. They're not going to reduce your by $80,000. It's going to have to be in range. So it has to be, an extraordinary thing. Your house is being taxed at 600 and it's worth four. Well, that's not fair.
Yeah, we had a question, too, just about bank-owned properties. There are some bank-owned properties on the market. And the interesting thing, if you offer on a bank-owned property, it's not oftentimes as quick. So, like, let's say I've got a buyer and Scott's the listing agent and we write an offer today. Well, I can call Scott on a Saturday. You're going to pick up the phone. You're most likely going to get a hold of your seller, and you're going to respond today or tomorrow with that. When it's bank-owned, it's a little different. So our buyer may say, let's put in an offer today, Scott. Well, again, the bank-owned listing agent may be working the weekend. They may not be, but it could be, four, five, six, seven days.
Yeah.
And that's hard for a buyer.
Yeah, it has to be submitted to the bank. I mean, you're dealing with a system. You're not dealing with an individual seller. So, of course, there's a delay on that. And buyers don't like it because, obviously, if it takes 7 days to get back, there's going to be other offers that come in that reopen it, and then you've got to change your offers and so on.
Do banks always hire a realtor?
Yes.
Yeah. Always?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Yep, they will. And they will do what's called a BPO, or a broker price opinion, market analysis, essentially. And over the years, we as a team company have had a few different folks who've listed a lot of bank-owned inventory, and it's a different deal. It's a little bit of a different deal. I know we're already at the break here, Scott, but we can probably keep chatting too.
Yeah, when we get back, we're going to talk about DWIs with Brad.
Yeah, Brad.
I've got a little experience. I didn't spend all my time in church, Ryan, so I've had a little experience with that through my 57 years.
Yes, you did not.
No.
They're a young man. But I don't know how to respond to that.
Top 10 cities in the nation.
Right.
Yes, come with your answer before we come back.
Where does Minneapolis fall?
Yeah, top 10 cities in the nation for the most number of DWIs
per 1,000. Yep.
Yeah, again, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Every Saturday, we're live and local. We're here on CCO. We appreciate your support. Please don't hesitate to reach out for us for anything. We're here to help you and your families. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us, everybody, and hope your weekend is going well. Every weekend, we like to feature a couple of our listings. Mr. Kieran Houlihan has one in Minneapolis, 1423 Upton Avenue North, for $220,000. This property was just listed. It's a two-bed, one-bath home. It's in. It's just steps away from the Theater Worth Regional Park. Lots of updates throughout, renewed electrical, plumbing, mechanicals, updated windows, freshly painted stucco and vinyl siding accents, newer roof as well, updated kitchen and bath. And Kieran's doing an open house today from 11 to 1245. 11 to 1245, that's 1423 Upton Avenue North. Scott, that's a nice area in Minneapolis.
That is a nice area in Minneapolis, if I put my mic on. And man, something in the twos, that's nice. Oh, something in the twos is nice. You don't see that. We always say there's not a lot out there anymore with a three in front of it, but you don't see a lot of twos in front of it.
Yeah, it is nice to have a two. And just one other one I want to touch on. Susan Mall has a nice one in Lakeville, 17775 Empire Trail, 545 for this one, Scott. Six bed, three bath, three car garage, three beds on main level, three beds on the lower level. You got a walkout basement. Newer construction, built in 2025. Wow. So it's move-in ready, quick close possible. 545. You know that area, Scott, right on Empire.
I do, and that is a great it's always nice to buy the house the second time within like a couple years if somebody builds it and then they get removed out, cuz you get all the stuff that you have to do when you're building, but you don't necessarily paying for it. The actual original people did. So it's nice to buy a year old house.
Yeah, it interesting, Brad. We were talking before the break. So the reason you brought up this question about DWIs is for homeowners insurance. You said it's very important to do what?
Yeah, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. I get that. So what I was talking about is bundling your home and auto gets you the biggest discount. And so understanding why rates are going up, and I thought, you know, one of the things that does affect it greatly is the number of people that think they can drink and drive. And so I was pulling up those statistics to see which city in the nation has the most. I defaulted to Wisconsin.
We all did. We were all thinking about Wisconsin cities.
Wisconsin or North Dakota.
Yeah. Oddly enough, California has 5 of the 10.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. California's got 5 of the top 10.
5 of the top 10. What do you think is the number one?
We already know the number one, so that's not fair. Do we get anybody that's reached in? I know. We got a couple Milwaukees. We got a couple
Madisons,
Chicago's. We got a couple Madisons. That seems to be the consensus.
No Wisconsin's on the list.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the cops just let you drive drunk in Wisconsin.
What was the top one, Bud?
The top one is Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska. Okay.
San Jose is number 2. Sacramento is number 3. Minneapolis falls number 6.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
So understanding that the environment that we have, the hail, the tornadoes affect your home, but the number of drivers we have on the road, the number of drivers that are the other day I saw someone cut across 4 lanes on 35W, and it was like they were going sideways, and I was like, boy, I hope I don't insure that person. But are certain drivers out there that just continue to raise the rates in this area, and then obviously that kind of behavior.
For all the Gen Zs out there, that which is my age, Ryan's on the butt end of that. But for all of us that understood, we give our kids a lot of props, Ryan. So all my kids are 29 down to 22. They don't drink and drive. I mean, this year, this group of a generation, they really look down on it. Like, I remember even in high school, if you drank and drove in high school when my kids were there, they looked at you like you were horrible. You have to admit, when we grew up, I grew up in Bemidji, and everybody that's listening that's in Bemidji, you know what I'm saying. We didn't even consider not drinking and driving. I mean, it was not even a thought to us. So it's nice to see this newer generation, you know, really give it the kudos, because you shouldn't be doing it. But when we grew up, it was just, you just did. It was just something you did.
Even our work with the O'Neill Foundation of Hope, we have met some individuals that have been families just devastated by by those decisions.
Yeah.
And so, Brad, if you know, when you think about this, when you think about so the bundling, I mean, the question always kind of comes up is when should I file an insurance claim? That is a common one I always get. And how will that impact my rates? You know, is there a magical answer or solution that you have for that?
The magical solution is always call your agent and talk to them first because of your deductible, talking about whether it's, you know, your fault. We are a no-fault state to start out with, but definitely talk to your agent. I was just doing a quote for someone, and one of the people in the household had 6 claims in the last 6 years, and no carrier would take them because even though 4 of them were glass, you still filed a claim. And so that's to a carrier. They then think about how much did they have to pay out as opposed to how much premium were they taking in, right? And so I always, if your deductible is $2,500 for your home and something happens that's going to cost you $3,000, don't file a claim. Just pay for it out of pocket and do that kind of thing.
Which to the layperson is like, well, that's what I pay my premium for, is to have insurance when something happens. Well, that's true, but that's not how the game's played.
Well, and the interesting part is when you file a glass claim, you know, they have it where you can waive the deductible, your comprehensive deductible, so you don't have to pay anything, right?
So when you say glass claim, what happened?
Like you were driving down the road and a rock hits and it puts a crack in your windshield, or it puts a hole in your windshield.
Okay.
To fix that hole, all they have to do is put some resin in there and solidify it, right? And that costs $80 to $125. And you filed a claim for $80 or $125 when your deductible is $500.
Yeah.
So it's your agent educating you and having a conversation with you at your annual renewals, you know, reminding you of things, talking about all of the values and what your coverages are and what's new in your life that's changed that we need to make sure we're concerned about, like George finishing his basement, right? Those types of things.
Have you seen, we were talking about property tax increases. What are you seeing for most renewals? An increase of 5%, 8%, 10%, most homeowners renewals? Are you seeing just across the board, is that kind of a standard?
Absolutely. It's every carrier decides whether they want to get out in front of these issues or, you know, like their loss runs, like the Q3 losses came out, or the expenses for carriers, and some of the national carriers are much higher. So you're going to see an increase from them coming out to offset that, right? It's like taxes. They just raise taxes if they want more money, right? Carriers just raise their premiums. But it's one of those things where you're looking at the whole picture of what's going on with the taxes. You know, I live in Blaine, and they have passed where they're going to do the overpass on 99th, 105th, 109th and 117th. That's going to be a pretty penny.
Yeah.
And they're doing roundabouts on the side. So I'm expecting my taxes to go up big time.
There's a texter said seems like there's a confluence of events against housing, tariffs, replacement costs, assessments, and property taxes, etc. But how is the insurance industry not a painful part of this confluence to collapse housing like it's doing in Florida and Texas now? Not much is selling there, and people are trapped. Any thoughts about that one, guys?
Texas has gone through this before.
Yeah.
They went through it about 18, 19 years ago where insurance carriers or insurance agents, they kind of dwindled down to just a few, but they're coming back now too. So it's, you know, one of those things.
I have one thought in our family, in our extended O'Neill family. We've had a property in Florida, and I can tell you what's different down in Florida is after the property was purchased, there was some skyrocket appreciation. I mean, like, wow, the thing like almost doubled. And now it has dipped back down again to reality. And so, yeah, that's painful. But as a longtime kind of real estate investor, it's like, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to keep going up. What's different, and again, why we are bullish about Minnesota employment here, again, basic supply and demand compared to other parts of the country. And I don't know, Scott. And again, mortgage, it's a different process to get a mortgage now. You have to be qualified. You have to have money to buy a house. I don't see any collapse coming here.
No, there's not. In fact, I got a call yesterday from somebody that lives in Boston that wanted my advice. The long story, they've got a penthouse condo that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, in Boston, they're coming down in pricing. So he bought this, you know, a few years ago for $7 million, and now it's only worth $650 million. And he's put about $200,000 in it. And see, we don't have that here because, you know, we're at whatever it was, 9,500 homes. We can run through the spring. That means we're probably going to be in February at about 7,500 homes. A balanced market here is 18,000. And so we are going to be in this nice little slow appreciation deal that we've been in. So we're not in any kind of bubble in the, you know, 12 months out, 24 months out. You can do the math. If we add 15% a year to our inventory, we're still 5 to 6 years before we're even at a balanced market.
Every week, I'll tell you again, every week I get 3, 4, 5 emails from fellow friends at Edina Realty, Coldwell Banker, Keller Williams, Remax. I've got a buyer need. I cannot find a property. I've been showing them 6 months. Ryan, help me.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's crazy out there, Brad.
And I will tell you, our area, in a previous life, I was a bank manager and a commercial lender. And as a commercial lender, I covered the Wells Fargo office in downtown in the Wells Fargo Center. And I would continuously get called down there for businesses that were opening up an account, needing a loan, starting in the Minneapolis area. And I started asking them why. And it's because they say you're in the center of the country, you are well educated over the average, and the area is a beautiful area to be. And that's yep. what we have going for us. And so I don't see it changing big either.
Hey, we're up against our final break at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate the comments, questions, texts throughout the week, mnrealestateshow.com. If you'd like help with a market analysis based upon property tax increase projections, or really anything at all, go to MN Real Estate Show. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us. Hope you all are having a great start to this holiday season. We would like to invite you again 2 weeks from today, the O'Neill Brothers. My brother Timothy and I are doing a two-piano show, singing and playing on two pianos, bringing in lots of other instrumentalists, the Marylands from The Voice. It's a fun show. It's about 2 hours, the show itself. It's at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, the Edina Performing Arts Center. All the money that we raise goes to benefit the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. It's a fundraiser. There's just a few tickets left for the 2 o'clock show. There's a few more for the 7 o'clock show. We'd love to have you there. Scott, you've been a kind supporter over the years.
Yep.
It's always fun having you there. I can see you sometimes in the audience because you sit in that side
seat.
Yeah,
I've got my little box seats on the left. That's where I'm going to be this year as well. You know, we should say, because it's an O'Neill concert, the language is pretty bad. So make sure younger kids, you prep them before they get there. Of course, I'm completely
Scott,
kidding.
And Scott, by the way, sorry, Brad.
No, I was going to say, what's your favorite song for you and your brother to play?
You know, we get a lot of kind of fun requests. The Piano Man, the Great Balls of Fire, all sorts of fun stuff. I mean, when you think about the music we've recorded is a lot of easy listening. The music that we've sold through JCPenney stores, but we play a lot of fun stuff. You know what I mean? You think of Piano Bars and Upbeat and other singers. And so we try to keep it fun, fresh, new every year. So it's not the, you know, people that have seen it other years are like, oh man, not the same.
Yeah,
thing.
No, it is a fun time. And you know, people always made fun of me, but I was always a musical guy growing up. And everyone's like, I can't believe you like musicals. I did. I was always a musical guy. So I like that kind of stuff anyway. Not that this is a musical.
Yeah.
But lots of cool stuff. You involve your family cool. All your younger nephews, and they play instruments. Yeah, it's a cool deal.
Yeah, appreciate it. Hey, we've got a few minutes left before we wrap up here with Brad Sanford. Farmers Insurance, just wanted to touch on David Meyer, has a very nice listing. This is 15-plus acres in Afton for $925,133,79, 50th Street South in Afton. 3-bed, 3-bath, 2-plus car garage. David says it's a peaceful, secluded setting. Lots of wildlife all over. The home has a showcase of craftsmanship and energy efficiency. All types of updates, kitchen appliances, windows, roof, water softener, furnace, water heater. again, check that out. 1337 950th Street South, Scott and Afton. That is a nice one.
It is. I know that strip. I've sold a couple houses out on that strip. They're all 10 acres plus. Very cool area right outside of Woodbury.
Yeah, one other one. Susan Mall has one in Northfield, 805 Haywood Road in Northfield. Four bed, four bath, two car garage. Lots of great updates on this one. A spacious finished walkout basement. Chef's kitchen with granite countertops. It's got a grand entrance. 805 Haywood Road in Northfield. And then the last one, Scott, Justin Voss has one in Prior Lake. We've hit this one a couple other times, but this is $400K for this. It has lake access, private lake access. It's got a three-car garage. Justin said, who needs a cabin for summer fun? Because the home has lake access in the city. Four-bed, two-bath for $400K. 14200 Timothy on Prior Lake.
Nice. Yeah, that's very nice. Prior, for anybody that's not been on Prior Lake, it is a super fun lake. Super fun lake.
Lots of fun stuff. Brad, we appreciate you. You are an awesome resource for listeners, for fellow agents that are tuning in, listening. Scott and I will get some nice messages from, again, our friends at the different companies. I always love hearing my buddy John Schuster's ads on CCO.
Yep.
John's a great guy, a wonderful guy. He and his team, they do an awesome job, Coldwell Banker. So our friends at all the different companies, kind of what you said earlier, I liked what you said, call your agent. Same thing with this. Call an agent. You know, you're doing this. We talk a lot about AI. AI is not going to take over the real estate agent world. There's a lot of efficiencies we are using AI for. I'm all about it, believe me. But the human side of it, what you just described, it's like the question was when to file the claim. You're like, call your person. You know, that knowledge, that experience, that touch. I don't know. Any thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, I mean, because of course the AI is freaking everybody out, but you know, we're going to utilize it as part of the industry. Like I said, this is always a face-to-face personal business. I mean, I think of the phone calls that I get from a client throughout the entire process. I mean, it's hundreds of phone calls. You know, people want answers. They want to understand it. There's lots of moving parts with selling or listing and selling a house. There's lots of moving parts with buying a house. And I just don't believe that that's ever going to be handed over to Grok or ChatGPT.
Well, and I think if you want to get into insurance or into real estate or into mortgage and know everything about it and have spent your career doing it, then maybe calling a 1-800 number is maybe okay. But for me, the insurance industry has always been people like myself who cares about you, who's always going to help you make the right decision. And so that helps you moving forward with the biggest investment of your life.
Yeah, the one quick thing about AI that I've noticed is sometimes I'll get conflicting answers. Some people, kind of the converse of that is, well, hey, yeah, I can just enter my questions into chat. And the interesting thing is on certain things, because I use it a lot.
I do too.
You know, I use it a lot, is that I won't get the same response, you know, depending upon different things. And so, I don't know, the human touch. Rye, are you using a lot of AI in your work and just what you do?
I actually, yes. It's kind of being more introduced into the news industry. And I don't particularly enjoy it.
Yeah.
I try to avoid it. Personally, I do find some uses for it in some areas to just clean up the clumsy human aspect of things that you want to be, you know, more prim and proper.
You know how you can tell on something was written by AI?
How?
The long dashes. If you see something with a long dash in it, like if you see a Facebook post or something and it's got not like a hyphen, but the long dash, there's a couple things that are AI that, like that was AI written.
Well, I'll tell you what's scary. Ryan and I were talking about this the other day. I'm really into human nature, relationship, things like this. This was something that really stuck out to me. 18 to 24 year old guys. Okay. 18 to 24 year old guys, 70%+ of them have never asked a girl out in person. And because of that, they're not. So anyways, the point is that relationships and people getting together is shrinking because they're not out there active. They're not meeting people like that. The criteria that each have for what they're looking for on dating sites is wacko. Everybody wants 6 feet and taller and $150,000 income. Well, that's 1.5% of the population, but that's 77% of all women's searches. So when I look at what's going to hurt the real estate market, if we don't have family units through the next 10, 15, 20 years, if that shrinks, and, you know, and again, you can have your AI bot girlfriend that's super sweet to you that you don't even ever have to go out with. That's going to be interesting.
One of the things, you know, we talk about business planning, Brad, this time of year. The one thing I always tell people, I said, okay, we're coming up on January 1st, 2026. Let's look a year out. If you know, like, trust, and have built a relationship, say, with 30 new humans,
yep,
get involved in life, care about them, help them, you know, do what you can, build relationships. Yeah. That's what the real estate business is about. It's about building relationships. It's not about AI bots.
No. No, it is not. And again, like you said, a lot of cool things with AI. You know, it's nice to throw in one little extra arrow in your quiver when you're looking at getting an evaluation to see what maybe they come in with or a different way that they look at it. But yeah, overall, you're going to want to talk to your agent.
Avoid the long hyphens.
Yes.
Even if you use AI, just take it out. Then people know. Brad, how do people get a hold of you, bud?
You call Ryan O'Neill or Scott Womering, and they'll get you to me. Or you can go to the MinnesotaRealEstateShow.com, or you can call me at my office, 651-690-2076.
You knew it. You do a nice job, young man.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you for joining us, Scott. Next week, we don't want you to be so soft.
No, I'll speak up.
Bullet.
Ryan Perpich, thank you. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks again.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.